Welcome to Getting Through It, where we're here to help you get through it. I'm John Bueri, and as always, I'm with the cool and collected Dr. Lucy Jones. We wanted to thank all the listeners who stepped up to sponsor this podcast. You too can do so by joining as a sponsor of the Dr. Lucy Jones Center for Science and Society. Please go to patreon.com and be a sponsor too. That's patreon.com and search Dr. Lucy Jones. So now let's get to it. Today, we want to help you beat the heat, as they say. So Lucy, we're going to talk about extreme heat, you know, what we oftentimes refer to as a heat wave. What is the technical scientific definition of extreme heat?
Extreme heat is the definition being used for dangerous heat. It's the term that's used to say this is so hot that it's actually a threat to human life. And it is, because we're scientists, we have to quantify that. That's defined as exceeding 95 degrees Fahrenheit or 35 degrees centigrade. And that's just a statement. It's a day where the heat exceeds that level, because that's the level at which a human body has to do something special to cool off, right? We have a set temperature. We aren't allowed to get farther than that. And this is how we do it. A heat wave is not a technical term, and it's really when it's extra hot for an extra long time, so you have to put up with it for multiple days.
And why is extreme heat so dangerous? Our bodies, as you just said, are designed to cool themselves off.
We are mammals. We have a set temperature, which is 98.6. Actually, it's probably a little bit lower. When you get above 95, our usual mechanisms for regulating our heat start to get into trouble, right? We generate heat when we process food, and then we use sweating and panting and such things to evaporate liquid that allows us to cool down. If it is hotter than 37 degrees, there's nothing out there to help us cool down, and we are in danger of going and overheating. And you sometimes hear the term of heat stroke. That's what happens to a human body when you can't get your temperature down because the outside is just too hot. Heat stroke is a serious illness. If you can't cool down, literally you're going to die from it. Heat kills more people in the United States than any other meteorologic weather phenomenon. So it's actually our most dangerous weather event. But it doesn't feel like that to us. Who's afraid of it being hot? Isn't that just great? That's just a summer day, right? So we have to overcome that bias that says this is too normal and recognize it as the danger that it is.
And heat doesn't just make us feel hot. There's other things that are happening to the world around us. The warming of the atmosphere also changes weather patterns, ocean circulation, and moisture flow that helps regulate the temperature. So it's not just getting hotter everywhere. This whole pattern of our weather and our temperatures is changing.
This is probably the place where climate change poses the greatest immediate risk to people. Climate change means that overall there's more energy in the atmosphere. Energy is heat, right? And the averaged over everywhere, it's going up. We still have cold days and we still have all this variation. But the systems that control our weather, which are the basic, westerly winds and ocean currents, those are all heat-driven systems. And as the heat changes, those are changing. So this is one of the things that makes understanding the implications of climate change such a challenge. The Earth is a very complex system, and they're trying to model what happens with that extra energy and what changes. And there's a lot of details, and they do these big global models, which tell you on average, and those are holding up pretty well. We're seeing, the models that were created, started up 20 years ago, we are following them. If anything, actually, it's getting hotter than what the models were suggesting. But we know we got the big picture pretty well right. And everyone likes to complain about, weather forecasts, but the reality is they're pretty good. If it says it's going to be 97 tomorrow, it's not going to be 67, right? It might be 95 instead of 97, but they've actually really got this down. And that says we understand the weather system well enough to be doing those sort of predictions. The challenge is when you're trying to say, 20 years in the future and you've got this whole global thing and you're trying to scale it down to just one region, then the models are so complex that it's hard to really get it right. So, you know, when somebody says, well, this means we're going to have 18 days that are above of extreme heat, okay, that depends upon your model or whatever. If they're saying, and I'm saying, we are going to be having more extreme heat days around the world, that is probably the most solid prediction of what's going on. And it is already our most dangerous weather. We've got to be recognizing that it's going to be getting worse as the climate keeps on changing and we keep on heating up.
With the warming atmosphere, that increased energy in our atmosphere, we get more days of extreme heat. But that warming atmosphere produces so much more as well that are affecting us. How does that interplay?
That heat is energy. And with extra energy in the atmosphere, we are going to be having more energy to drive storms. So we don't necessarily get more hurricanes, but we clearly are getting more intense hurricanes. We're getting more tornadoes, and they're showing up over a larger area. The whole thing, it's changing the pattern of monsoons, and of course, cyclones being the larger category of hurricanes, those are showing up all over. But also then, we've got another type of weather phenomenon that's the wildfires that are more directly connected to the extreme heat, because we're now warming everything. You've got these really hot days, they dry everything out. And we have whole ecosystems that were evolved for cooler climates now experiencing warmer climates than they're used to, leading to wildfires. I mean, we're having major wildfire risks in the Arctic because there it's warmer than it used to be, and therefore it's changed what that forest is used to.
You know, when it's raining out or there's a prediction of rain and your local forecaster says, hey, it's, you know, 85% chance of rain or 50% chance of rain, you might carry your umbrella. You look at that as a warning of what might be coming. But when we see a 95, 97, even 100 degree weather forecast, a lot of folks don't do anything differently. But really, the weather forecast of over 95 should be seen as a disaster warning.
It absolutely should be. And I've been really impressed watching the shift in the National Weather Service. They're now having extreme heat warnings and they're treating them just like they were making a hurricane watch, because they do kill people. When you see this, we should be recognizing that this is a time when people are going to die. You know, when we think about disasters, we usually think of them in terms of their ability to kill us. You know, I often argue we should be much more worried about being bankrupted by the earthquake than being killed by the earthquake. But it is that chance of unforeseen death that really motivates us. And if you go on that basis, many, many more people are killed by extreme heat. You know, on sort of a national average, something under 100, like 85 people is the average number of people killed in floods over the last decade. It's about the same for tornadoes. It's about the same for hurricanes. Of course, you get this really big event like Katrina, but many years it's only a matter of a few people that have died in the hurricane, so it averages out. Earthquakes average out at probably no more than 100 people a year. By comparison, if you look over the last decade from extreme heat in the United States, depending on how exactly you define it, we're getting numbers between 700 and 1300 as the number of people killed each year from extreme heat. That's like 10 times as many as what we see from a flood or an earthquake or a hurricane. So these are dangerous events that are far more likely to kill you than those disasters that you're used to worrying about. So we'll give you this extra one to worry about. At the same time, we can say it happens just like every disaster. The loss is probably preventable if you've actually thought through what to do.
So when someone sees that weather warning or just the weather forecast that says 95 degrees plus the next 3 days in your neighborhood, what should they do?
Start with taking it seriously. Recognizing that you don't just ignore it, you should be changing your behavior. You don't do your afternoon run. You go and do your exercising early in the morning when it's going to be safer to be able to do that. Most of us in Southern California have air conditioning. One of the things is that this is now spreading into areas where air conditioning isn't such a regular part of people's lives. And so there's a lot of things you can do to try and keep your house cooler, and you really need to think about doing this. Remember your pets. If they're outside, they're likely to be in a lot worse shape because of this as well. And the other one, again, like every disaster, it's think about your community. People die in these heat waves. They're much more likely to die if they're alone and nobody checks on them. The type of ways in which you get heat stroke and eventually die from it, it isn't instantaneous. It's time to help. And so check on people you care about. You know, are there neighbors that you know that might be alone, that might be at risk? Check on them. Community and social connection are what protects us from disasters. And that's just as true of extreme heat as any other disaster that we face.
And for you, Lucy, as you see temperatures being forecasted to be in the triple digits, as they say, in your community of Pasadena, what do you do to manage that risk?
I recognize that I'm really in a position of privilege. I do have air conditioning. I can afford the electricity to run it. You know, I'll make the slight changes, like making sure that my walks are only in the evening or early morning and not at the hottest part of the day. But I recognize that just like all disasters, the risk is not equal opportunity. Most disasters are, the hazard's inevitable, the disaster is not. And it's thinking ahead to make sure that it doesn't turn into loss of life that's going to make the heat manageable. And we're going to need to do that more going forward as climate change brings heat to be more of a regular part of everybody's life.
Which means that we'll have a lot more things to talk about on this podcast, so we're going to have to do that again. So until next time, I'm John Bueri with Dr. Lucy Jones and you, Getting Through It. Getting Through It is a production of the Dr. Lucy Jones Center for Science and Society. Visit us online to get past shows and become a sponsor at patreon.com. That's patreon.com, and search Dr. Lucy Jones. There you can get extras, insights, and access to the entire world of Getting Through It. Our music is performed by Josh Lee, and this closing music is written by our own Dr. Lucy Jones.